buries her husband of 63 years, I believe. She said, I can't imagine what she's going through right now. So pray for her. And man, we lost a warrior. We did. Man, you could see the glory of God on that man's face. He had something special. And also remember Brother Don Belcher's family, too. His mother passed away. So they also need prayer. But God is able to comfort. Amen? Man, he can give you peace, not as the world giveth, but his kind of peace. Amen? All right, I'm going to start with verse 23. This is talking about Gideon. We know the story of Gideon. If you don't know the story of Gideon, you should. But Gideon was hiding out from his enemy. He's threshing wheat, not on the threshing floor, but he's hiding out in the wine press so the enemy doesn't know he's there. And God comes and speaks to him through an angel and calls him a mighty man of valor. He's like, who, me? But that shows us that God doesn't see us for who we are right now. He sees us who we're going to be in him. I heard a preacher preach one time, don't judge me from a fall season or a winter season because spring's coming. So you may be judging me from a spot that I'm not at anymore. As a matter of fact, you should be growing in God so much that if I see you a year from now, you shouldn't be the same person. So we should be growing in grace and knowledge. Here, the angel is speaking, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. Man, this is good stuff. In the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? When they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. The men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he had cut down the grove that was by it. Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself. Because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him, we're going to say Jerubbaal. Jerubbaal. Why would he put that in there? You can go ahead and be seated. We're talking about dealing with Baal. We're talking about Baal worshipers. And God commanded them not, when they went into the land, to not have any other gods. To not worship any other gods. But Gideon was this man that was called by God. And I love the way the writer of Judges, he doesn't do it often, but every now and then he'll give you kind of some insight to what he's talking about. A lot of it is just matter of fact. This is what happened, just giving a rundown of what happened. But right here, he kind of gives an insight to Gideon. He says, he's doing what God called him to do, but said he couldn't do it during the day because he was afraid. He was afraid of the people. And you think just because you're doing what God asks you to do that there's not going to be a little bit of apprehension involved. You're wrong. You're wrong. How many people in here that sing during the service up here on the pulpit and you still get nervous? Raise your hand. A little bit nervous. Everybody but Dave. Dave's a little bit. He's arrogant, so he's not. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I mean, there's a level of apprehension. We talked about public speaking being the number one fear of man, second to death. I mean, death is second to fear of public speaking. I mean, some people would rather die than give their testimony because it's amazing what fear will do. But just because there's fear involved or there's apprehension or there's some doubt doesn't mean that gets us off the hook, Marty. We still got to do what God asks us to do. I remember when I first started preaching, I was nervous. I was really nervous. I still get a little nervous. I'm kind of like Dave. I'm arrogant. No, I'm kidding. But it's still to the point of, man, God has met me so many times. There's been times I come to church and I've studied all week and I don't have anything to say. And that scares me to death. And I get to church and I'm like, God, you better say something. Because, I mean, if you don't, it's going to be a short something and we're out of here. But, man, God shows up. God has a way of showing up. And when you trust him, those that know him, they put their trust in him. Let me tell you what gets you a little less nervous when you trust Jesus. Because you're like, man, it's going to work out. Everything's going to be okay. So Gideon is fearful, but he's still doing what God called him to do. And I like that he puts that in there, that the writer of Judges lets us know. He did this at night because he was afraid. 10 guys he takes with him. 10 men he takes with him. And I'm sure he picked out some of his closest people, some people that he could trust. But the next day they inquire, and I don't know who it was, but one of the 10 told. Because they begin to inquire the men of the city, who done this? They're like, it was Gideon. It was Gideon. That's why I believe Jesus really resurrected, because I believe it was a lie. One of the 12 would have said, nah, we planned this whole thing. But every one of them went to their grave saying, no, he really did raise again. I mean, Watergate proves to me that Jesus rose again. 10 men in Watergate. It didn't take no time, a couple days, and 3 of them are already telling. You think you got some buddies. You think you got some close people. Trust Jesus, people. That's all I'm saying. Trust Jesus. They come and they say, who did this? They said, it's Gideon. It was Gideon. And they're so tore up about this that they go to Joash's house and they say, bring Gideon out that we can kill him. We want to kill him because he tore down these altars. He the grove that we had planted for the god Baal, all these things that we had set up, he tore them down. And I love the way God sets this up. He says, by the way, cut down the grove that's around it. And he said, and use it for wood. Use it for a burnt offering. Let me tell you something about God. He can take what the enemy has built in your life and use that for the very fuel that he needs to catapult you into your destiny. You know, sometimes disgust is a good motivator. Sometimes the devil sets something up in you and you look at it and you get so disgusted that it pushes you and propels you into doing what God asked you to do. Can I get an amen? Sometimes fear is a good motivator. Amen. It's why we all pay our taxes, because I'm afraid of what they might do to me. I don't do it because I want to. And I know you people are like, what about the roads? Well, they take too much because there's still potholes. And I pay tolls. And I don't even think the state owns that. I'm not sure what's going on that turnpike. But I know this. My paycheck looks like a big mistake. When I fill out that paper, I say, I want to claim this because I want to be free-ish. Free-ish. Enough of that. Let me go on. Point is, man, there's this God, and he doesn't want us to have any other gods before him. He wants to be the one and only. He's a jealous God. We've learned how jealous God really is. He says, don't set up any graven images. He doesn't even want graven images of himself, what we think he might look like, much less a graven image of a God that doesn't even matter or even exist. These are gods that we understand that the prophet would call a showdown on the mountain, and he would say, A, call out to your God. and let's see what happens. And the prophets would come together, not just one, but hundreds of prophets would come together. They had a good meeting up there on the hill. And they begin to cry, Chris. And the more they cried, the quieter it got, because there was no God to answer them. They were calling out to a false deity. They were calling out to a God that had eyes and he couldn't see. He had ears, but he couldn't hear. He had arms, but he couldn't touch. And they kept crying out until noon, until finally they got so upset, Jeremy, they begin to cut themselves on the altar and they begin to stomp around, and Elijah's over there having the time of his life, and he's like, maybe he's sleeping, or maybe he went on vacation, or maybe he's gone somewhere, and he begins to antagonize them just a little. But then he begins to call on his God, and he repairs the altar, and he digs a ditch around it. And I feel preachy today, I want to insert this into your thinking today. When he opened his mouth, he wasn't praying to a God that couldn't hear. He was praying to the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He was praying to the God that Moses understood when he stood on the side of the Red Sea. He was praying to the God that created it all to begin with, and when he began to call out, that God began to hear and begin to answer. Oh, he said, if God be God, let's follow him. If Baal be God, we're going to follow him. How long halt ye between two opinions? He said, this is it. We're going to serve the God that answers by fire. We got a world that's in need, and we need a God that'll answer by fire. I'm tired of trying to talk to people and coax people and somehow counsel people into having a relationship with God. No, we need to come with anointing and with power and with fire and say, this is the true God, and he answers by fire, and he'll take your life and revolutionize it. He's able. He is the counselor. Amen. We need a relationship so close. I believe we're able to do this, where when people come in contact with us, they know there's something different. Before we ever open our mouth, they know something begins to move. There is a spirit that is greater than every spirit of this world. We talked about this. The spirit of Jezebel is still alive. The spirit of Nebuchadnezzar is still alive. The spirit of Herod is still alive. The same spirit that was controlling them is still working in the world today. The spirit of Pharaoh is still alive. That spirit that tries to put people in bondage is still alive. He's using different things than bricks and mortar. He's using other things, but it's the same spirit. So if you don't think we're fighting the spirit of Pharaoh, you don't understand spirits. But out of the spirit of Pharaoh and the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar and the spirit of Herod and the spirit of Jezebel, there's one spirit that trumps all those spirits, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit steps on the scene, the spirit of Jezebel has to take a step back. When the Holy Spirit steps up, the other spirits have to sit down. I don't need a new sermon. I need a new anointing. I don't need a new line or a new gimmick. I need new anointing. I need fresh anointing. We're fighting the spirits of this age. Amen. People have become so lackadaisical in every area. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. In every area. If I could label this generation, I would label it whatever. Just whatever, man. Whatever's good for you, just whatever. It's whatever. But the church doesn't have the luxury of taking the whatever approach. We can't say whatever. Because when we get the whatever approach, people go to hell. When we get the whatever approach, our kids wind up going the wrong directions. When we take the whatever approach, our churches begin to die. When we take the whatever approach, people ain't ready when it's time to get ready. If we take the whatever approach, no, he said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing this, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, and it's not a whatever army. It's an army on purpose. It's an army on purpose. Oh, man. I used to tell people, tomorrow when I got to talk to you, John Ben and Fireco is two different places. Fireco's way better. Just want to let you know, we was having a talk about them places down there. And he called John Ben Fireco, and I was like, man, I ain't cool. I'm just kidding, man. I'm totally kidding. We have got places. We have got regions that have certain spirits that operate in certain places. We have families that are bound by certain spirits just because they are genetically wired to find themselves bound to certain things. Are you following me? Go to the doctor and they're going to ask you a lot of questions about who your family is, because we're connected to our family. Some families are bound by certain things. One family may have something that runs throughout their family, and it's just the way they are. A lot of times, an alcoholic is an alcoholic because his daddy was an alcoholic. And his daddy was an alcoholic because his daddy was an alcoholic. And what this creates is high places and strongholds in areas or in families. Amen. There's just things that are readily available to some people, and the devil uses that, and that spirit uses that to bring it into bondage. And we find this with the people of God. They go into a land. Thomas, he says, don't join yourself to Baal. Don't forget where I brought you from. Don't forget where I took you out of. They were down there in Egypt, Chris, where they worshiped hawks and cats and anything else they could think of, four-footed beasts, they would worship them. But this ain't in my sermon. This ain't in my notes. I don't even have any notes, Dustin. And I'm sorry, I don't have my Bible up here. All I got's a phone. I'm sorry for rebuking you for that I do, and it's just not right. But to clarify, the reason I asked him if he had his Bible or not, I said, if your phone goes dead, can you still preach? That's all I'm asking. Where was I before I gave him my apology? Cats, thank you. I got to insert this because Moses was raised in Egypt. See, Dustin, that was a real apology. I even forgot what I was talking about. That was real. Moses is in Egypt. He's raised in Egyptian thinking like we all are. We're all shaped by our environment. But Moses looked around one day. The historians tell us that Pharaoh knew exactly who Moses was. Historians say that prophecy was given that Moses was going to be the deliverer of the people, and the Pharaoh of the day knew it. That's what the historians of the day say. They say he was so arrogant that he said there was no way that one man would be able to bring down the kingdom of Egypt. So he wasn't concerned. Oh boy. Let me tell you what happens. He was looking at Moses and he was looking at one man. But what he wasn't looking at is the God of that one man. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if I could get one person in this room to get a relationship with Jesus and catch on fire, it's hard to tell what could happen in our area. It ain't about the man. It's about the God of the man. It's not about Moses. It's about the God of Moses. So what are you saying? I'm saying this ain't about you. This is about him. That's why I looked at Gideon and said, hey, mighty man of valor, who me? Not me. Not me. This ain't about you. This ain't even about you, Gideon. He said, you go down there and you tear down. You tear it down. You tear down that high place. You get up there and you cut down the grove and you use that for fuel. That's what you do, Gideon. Let me tell you what happens as a pastor. I look around and I get nervous sometimes. Why do I get nervous? Because one, all of y'all are looking at me right now. I'm a little insecure. Here's the reason I get nervous. Because every day in the fall that Emma goes to school, she's going to come in contact with people that we don't have control over. And here's what I tell myself. We need more programs for kids. And I'm thankful. Man, I'm thankful for what you're doing. And you Sunday school teachers, I'm thankful for what you do. I'm so thankful for what we do. And I get a little nervous because, Karen, I look at your grandkids that you bring here every Sunday. And I look at you, Cadence, and I say, man, she goes to Christian school. That's right. It's good, right? Is she going to Christian school? Is that right? Right. Guess what? There's heathens there, too. And if there ain't, there was when my kids went. You know what? Hey, newsflash. Your kids are not little angels that you think they are. None of them. Thought I'd let you know. So here's how it rolls. They're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And you got the nerve when your little kid's telling you how mean the teacher is and how awful the teacher is. And you know, I went to church with my kids' teachers. Godly people. And my kid's like, no, I'm like, I am going to have to believe the teacher on this one because you just, I love you, but you're shaping an iniquity, kid. Love you, but you're a liar. I've literally heard parents, I heard this out of a woman's mouth. Perry, you may remember this. We were working together in this lady's house, and she came in, and she had this look in her eye. And she was talking about her kid at dance class. And the teacher told her she kept doing this move wrong. And she couldn't believe it. I don't know if you remember this or not. But she started crying and she says, now I know why people go off and kill other people. Huh? Perry, let's hurry and get this job done and get out of here. Because if she's going to kill somebody because her daughter's doing a dance move wrong, can you imagine if this tile cracks? We're done. We are dusted. She hiding out in a ninja suit. Never mind, leave it alone. We're born in sin. We're shaping in iniquity. We're in that place. And what happens is we send everybody leaves here. We're getting ready to leave. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do this week? Who are you going to come in contact with? It's my job to give you something that'll feed your soul enough. Listen, that's the job of a pastor, is to feed you. My job is to feed you. Man, I got a great compliment the other day. Somebody told me, they said, every time I leave here, I just feel challenged. That's awesome. Because the Word of God should challenge us. Amen? So I get nervous and I'm like, God, are we feeding them enough? Are we giving them enough? Are we singing good enough? Are we anointed enough? God, I don't want anybody that plays music playing around with sin, God, because we need to be clean so that your spirit can flow through us, and we need to be right, and we need to be in relationship, and we don't need to be doing one thing on Saturday and something else on Sunday. God, keep the conduit clean, because I understand there's an Emma and there's a Joe and there's a Cadence and there's a Caleb. children, and there's all these kids, and God, we got to make sure that when they come into this place, that it's not just another ordinary sermon or an ordinary song, but it's got anointing that reaches down into their soul and empowers them to overcome. So what do you got to do? You got to tear down the high places. You got to tear down the high places, those things that exalts itself against God. We got to tear those down. He said, go up there and tear it down. They say, Joash, bring him out so we can kill him. Joash, it was his setup. But let me tell you what will make people forget their setup, their kids. Are y'all following me? Y'all following me? I said, their kids will make them forget their setup. We don't have room now. We're having a meeting, by the way, next Sunday on the building. Pray. We need a building. You know why we need a building? Because we need a bus ministry. You know why we need a bus ministry? Because we need to bring some kids in. You know why we bring those kids in? So that we can change their parents' setup. Ah, say it again, preacher. That's right. That's right. It don't always take the dad to get the family saved. Sometimes it's the daughter gets the family saved. It ain't always the mama. Sometimes it's the son. What's going on with him? I don't know. Something's going on down the church. Gideon goes up at night and he tears it all down and he offers the sacrifice exactly like God tells him to offer it. And then they come after him. Listen, when you go against the culture, get ready for an adversary. Let me say that again. Whenever you become counter-cultural, get ready for an adversary. We live in a country now that if you fly an American flag, I can almost bet what your party affiliation is. That doesn't bother anybody? We are so, and I know we're so divided. Why are we so divided? Because the devil knows a house divided, it can't stand. But I'm not worried about the White House. I'm worried about the church house. Why are you worried about the church house? Because it's going to stand. I just want to make sure that I'm plugged into it enough that I'm going to stand too. Why is that, preacher? Because he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So they come in and they say, send him out here, Joash. Send him out. Send him out. We're going to kill him. You know what he does? He renames him. Did y'all catch that? Therefore, on that day, therefore he called him. Do you see that? His name was Gideon, but his dad names him. We say Jerubbaal, but when you look real close, there's a name in there. And that name is Baal. So he puts the name of the God that he just tore down his whole setup, he puts it in his name. What's he saying? What's this name mean? Why would he call him that? This name means let Baal contend. Let Baal contend. Who wants to be called that? That's not a cool name. Could you imagine? Where are you going to let Baal contend? What kind of name is that? No, he's sending a statement. What's his statement? He's saying, let Baal contend for himself. Man, when I read this, I got tore up. Why'd you get tore up, preacher? Because I get tore up about what we're fighting out there. But I hear the voice of the Lord saying, let them fight. Let them contend. You let them contend, but make sure you're contending as well. Oh, let this world do what they're going to do, but let me do what I got to do. Let the world, let the system. Do what it's got to do. Let them contend. But I don't know how you feel. I feel like I'm a contender. Amen. Marty, we can let them do whatever they want to do. The disciples, during their day, there was Baal worship. They were offering kids to idols. They were sacrificing babies. But I want you to notice something. The disciples didn't march around Jerusalem with signs protesting, did they? They didn't march around, no more Baal worship, no more Baal worship, no more Baal worship. They didn't do that. You know what they did? They were contenders. They weren't sitting around saying, the world needs to stop doing it. The world's going to be the world. Let it contend. But you know what they did? They went from house to house, breaking bread and preaching Jesus. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We need to get in the fight. We need to get in the fight. We need to get in the fight. How are you going to get in the fight? I'm going to tell you how I'm going to get in the fight. I'm going to pray. Tell you how I'm going to get in the fight. I'm going to preach. Tell you how I'm going to get in a fight. I'm going to pray that God takes every demonic spirit out of this town. Amen. You say, I don't know if it works like that. That's because you ain't praying. You have not because you ask not. Amen. Man, something's going on up there in Crab Orchard. What's going on? We don't know. Something different's happening up there. Something's going on. I've read stories where revivals have happened in places where people would go and ask for directions how to get there, and they'd get off the train and the people would say, go that direction. And they'd say, do we turn? Yeah, you turn. Where do we turn at? You'll feel it. Just go that way. And people would find the church, not by directions, but they knew by the fact. I'm telling you, there's a God that's tangible. There's a God that you can feel. There's a God that'll reach inside the heart of men and women and it'll change them. What is he waiting on? He's waiting on the church to get in her position so that he can flow through us and touch this world. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Create in me, oh God, a clean heart. Let your river flow through me. Come on, musicians. I can't stand. They got these commercials about these drain cleaners, and they make them just look so wonderful. Well, yeah, go clean a drain. Watch how wonderful it is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Every time I clean the drain. But Tracy, this ain't mine! I'm not guilty. But you know what I hate worse than cleaning a drain? Is having one that's stopped up. That's miserable. It's horrible. You're showering in the waters at your feet and it's just like, oh! Y'all know, y'all been there, ain't you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you're just like, I'm just going to clean it. It's gross. It's horrible. I don't know what happens to hair. You women are weird. You're like, oh, your hair is so beautiful. Until it leaves your head, it becomes gross. You're like, oh, your hair is so pretty. And once it leaves your head, hair. What was so pretty a second ago? It's a conduit. It's a conduit. Anytime a conduit gets blocked, it can't perform. So what God was telling Gideon, Sister Alice, was clean this up. Clean this up, because I'm getting ready to do something. I'm getting ready to do something. Clean it up. And he started cleaning it up, and he met resistance. Are you going to meet resistance? Let him contend. See, I can stand up here. I've had a change of heart. And I can can preach against Disney. I can preach against Starbucks. And I can preach against all of this stuff that's going on in our world. You know what I figured out? People go home after they hear me preach and they watch Disney drinking Starbucks. The new little mirror made his out. Stop by and get me a latte and we'll watch it together. Who cares what the preacher says? They're too big. We're not going to be able to affect them. We learned this in Sunday school, people. It'll make a difference. But I can preach that. I can talk about it, how we need to figure out values and all that. And people look at me and they say, well, preacher, if we did that, we wouldn't buy nothing. Do you know the only thing that lets evil prevail is when good men do nothing? See, I'm trying to tell myself I'm not preaching on this, but I'm preaching on this. But here's what I can do. Instead of preaching on the evil of Disney, I can preach on the goodness of God. And say, you know what? Once God starts talking to you, He can say, hey, I know you're afraid, but tear that down over there. But first, I got to get you talking to God. Because let me tell you what's going to happen to you if you don't. You're just going to sit over there shaking like old Gideon. But man, once you start talking to God, you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I don't even have to be anywhere around. God's doing things in your life. How does that happen? Anointing. God's word. He said, you know what? They're Jerubbaal, Jerubbaal, let Baal contend. Let Baal contend. They passed laws in New York City years ago. They passed laws that made it easier for an Islamic practicing person to make a way in school to pray the five times a day that they need to pray. The same school system that took prayer out of school finds a way to put it back in for certain groups of people. Now, you can get mad at that if you want, or you can look at it like this. I know the devil's running that show. So he's trying to stop one group from praying and letting another group pray. Why would he do that? Because he knows how, no matter how much they pray, nothing's going to happen. But if my people call by my name, or if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Let me tell you, when the devil gets nervous, it's when the church of the living God rises up and calls on his name. Oh, let's go ahead and stand up. It's time to go. Come on, stand up. Get ready. Get ready. Oh, we're going to look on the inside of each one of us. No prayer line today. We don't have a prayer line. Not yet. We're going to look on the inside of each one of us. Say, God, I want to be part of that army. God, I want to hear from you. Speak to me, Lord. You're not a respecter of persons. I know you speak. Speak to me. Tell me what you want me to do, Lord. Reveal your plan to me, God. God, I want to be in your blessing. I want to be in your favor. I want to be in your plan. I want to walk in your truth. You made a way where there didn't seem to be no way, but now there's a way. I'm walking in it. I know about a way. Listen, if God is dealing with your life on any level, talk to him right now. As we sing this song, would you pray? Would you take your hand right now, take your hand and just put it on your own chest right now and say, God, I'm praying for me today. I'm praying for my relationship with you. Heal me, fill me. God, make me a conduit that your river can flow through, Lord. I want to bless my family. I want to bless my spouse, Lord. I want to bless my co-workers, Lord. Most of all, God, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you, Lord. When you want to send something, Lord, you say, send it through them. They'll take it. They'll take it. Go ahead, Aaron, sing. Would you pray? Would you pray for you?
Creation knows the voice.
Use me, God.
That's spoken to the void.
Use me, God. Use me.
The breath that brought the dust to life.
Oh, yes.
And sing the stars to form. The darkness fears